The reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's verses 1 to 5 of Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Our second reading is from Luke's Gospel. It's also printed on your service sheets. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 33. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Our Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to be our Saviour. And Father, we are sorry that so often we can grow bored of the Christmas story. We can grow over familiar with it. Father, please would you help us again to be awestruck at what you've done in sending Jesus. We pray you do that for us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't mean to put a dampener on things, but I'm sorry to say that soon the Christmas holidays are going to be over, and we'll be into January, and relatives will have gone home. Maybe they already have. And the Christmas tree will be thrown out there on the side, out on the pavement, and we'll be back to school. And after all the hype of Christmas, all the expectation, we may feel a little bit flat. It's easy to feel a bit of a post-Christmas low. It may be we're already feeling flat because Christmas, frankly, didn't live up to much. Maybe it was a bit tense with a family. Maybe someone was ill, or we didn't get the presents we wanted, or the presents we got or we gave didn't quite hit home as we'd hoped. And for whatever reason, Christmas this year wasn't that great. Well, either way, I guess we all know what it's like to feel that downer post-Christmas. All of us do that, I guess. All of us except for this chap, Simeon, who we've just heard about. For Simeon, there was no post-Christmas low. Quite the opposite. The days following that first Christmas were the happiest days of Simeon's life. They were the ones where he was most content, when he was most at peace. Do you see that in verse 29? Just have a look down, 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. It's as though he's saying, no matter what I face from here on in, I can face it in peace. I can die happy. Why? Well, because of what he understands of Jesus. Do you remember what he said? Just have a look down again. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now that's the key bit this morning. My eyes have seen your salvation. It's a very strange thing to say, isn't it? Because it's amazing enough that Simeon knew who Jesus was, that he knew that he held in his baby one who would become the saviour of the world. But here's the really interesting thing. He doesn't say, my eyes have seen my saviour. My eyes have seen our saviour. He says, no, my eyes have seen your salvation. God's salvation. What's going on here? Why does he say that? Well, here's the first thing we want to get absolutely clear this morning. Salvation is God's massive plan for the world. Salvation is God's huge plan for the world. It's what the Old Testament is all about, where we get promise after promise after promise after promise. And God keeps on saying in bigger and bigger ways, I am coming to save you. I am coming to bring about salvation. And as Simeon holds Jesus in his arms, would be about 40 days old, tiny. I was holding a 40-day, a five-week-old baby just 2 days ago, and was struck again by how tiny they are at 5 weeks. Simeon, as he held Jesus in his arms, he says, all those promises in the Old Testament of salvation are now being fulfilled. The plan of salvation, it's now underway. Now I wonder, what was the best Christmas present anyone had this Christmas? I wonder who had the best. Anyone want to put a bid in for the best Christmas present of the season? I'm a bit reluctant this morning. Marty, fantastic. Marty, what did you get for Christmas?
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear. Oh my goodness, I mean, that is going to be hard to top. Anyone from this side of the room get anything amazing for Christmas? That wasn't a great... Oh, Ian did, yeah.
I got 3 pairs of gardening gloves.
Come on. 3 pairs of gardening gloves. You're reaching middle age. That's brilliant. That's great. James, what did you get?
The Lego Kusu Back to the Future DeLorean.
Whoa. Well, what did you get?
Get a dinosaur.
You got a dinosaur?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, dinosaurs. Well, in our household, dinosaurs were pretty high up the list. But in fact, I don't know whether this does top the list or not, but... not just a skateboard, a spider sense, Spider-Man skateboard. I mean, it's great. Anyone can have. I've been looking forward to using it on this floor. Or. Skateboard. Well, I tell you what, we have been excited for months at the prospect of Christmas, and the prospect, someone in our house has been thrilled at the prospect of maybe getting a skateboard for Christmas. We've been to the skate park, we've just stopped to watched as people go on by on a skateboard. We've talked about it. It's skateboards have what life has been about for the last few months. And so when there was a kind of skateboard-shaped kind of present, I think the term was, is it banana-shaped? No, it's a skateboard-shaped present under the tree. The excitement in the house was off the scale, absolutely off the scale. And I guess we all know that feeling a little bit, don't we? You know, when we get the thing, whatever it is, what we've wanted so badly, when we finally, when we get it, depending on our age and our temperament, we go, wow, come on, yes, just what I was hoping for. Well, Simeon was a bit like that. He was longing for something. He was absolutely beside himself with longing. Verse 25, he's described as someone who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, literally, that means the comfort of Israel. The comfort of Israel. He was waiting. He was on the edge of his seat, waiting for God to come and comfort his people, which was just the thing that God had promised to do many years before. Remember the passage which Ruth read for us earlier on? Just flick back there on your service sheet. It's a huge promise, isn't it? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. When God comes to comfort, what does it mean? Not a great big cuddle. No, it means warfare being done away with. Iniquity, which means wrongdoing, being forgiven, being pardoned. It means something actually that is so massive. The only way Isaiah can describe it is a bit like, think of a huge mountain range and it just being flattened and becoming a motorway. Why? Because God himself is coming in all his glory and everyone will see it. God is coming to comfort his people. He's coming to save. And this is the thing that Simeon was longing for. Wow, just imagine waking up each day thinking, is it today? Is it today that God is going to come and save? But of course, this is just one promise of so many in the Old Testament. And we heard another at the start of our meeting, didn't we? God wasn't just going to come and save one little few, a group of people living in the Middle East, the area we see on television so much. Not just a group of people from one country. No, he's not just come to save the Jews. He's come to save people from every country. Remember how we started? He said, God said, I'm going to send someone who will be a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So Simeon was waiting for a promise that he knew would be for everyone, no matter who they were or what they'd done, what century they lived in. The salvation he was waiting for, God's massive plan of salvation, would be for everyone across the globe. Salvation is God's massive plan for the world. That's the first thing to get clear. That's what Simeon had clear. And as he held this little Jewish boy in his hands, he says, the time is now. All that we've been waiting for is now. My eyes have seen your salvation. And then phrases which just come all over in the Old Testament. Oh, must be wrong. Hold on. Never mind. Phrases which come all over the Old Testament.
What a letter! We thought God was going to do something you, because your Simeon was expecting it. Something amazing. And what does he do? He says Jesus. And we think, oh, isn't that a bit lame? Maybe it's a bit like me saying this. Does anyone here like sweets? Around the place. Don't guess if anyone likes sweets. Max, why like sweets? Max likes sweets. Okay, well, I'm gonna make a promise. This is no lie. It's absolutely no lie at all. I have here on this table a box full of sweets. A whole box full of sweets. Max, if you want them, come and get them. A whole box.
Do you want to take it back to your
should get him over? Should you get the sweets out? Do you want to open?
What have we got in there?
Come on, help yourself. Wow! A whole box of sweets! Just open it, do you see? Yeah, full to the brim, a box full of sweets!
Take him back to Daddy, that's fine. Yeah, he's that way. Well, Max is being far too polite to set, but I imagine he's a little bit disappointed. this is the best box. Provided a whole box. I heard it was Christmas Day. There was lots of sweets going around the place. I'm afraid I'm not that generous. We've got it was actually just a small box full of sweets. It would no lie, but I guess it would be easy for us to feel about God the way Max might be tempted to feel about me now. I mean, we read in the Old Testament, don't we, that God is going to carry out a salvation that will be huge. We just read promise after promise in Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets throughout. This big thing is going to happen, and what happens? A baby is born. Well, great. No earthquakes, no flashing lights, no armies of angels. All that happens is a baby arrives. How disappointing. Though, of course, as we know, not really, because small things are sometimes much, much bigger and much better than they appear. So, who's nearly 17? Anyone nearly 17 here? 17? Quite significant, isn't it? I mean, it's only small, but it comes, you know, there is a promise of independence, of freedom, of you can have status, you know, as you drive that Ford around the place. And so much comes with just such a little thing. Or anyone a bit sort of stressed, a bit kind of just long for sort of just time of peace and tranquility and Philip, I know you probably aren't my friend. Here, let me just give you this bit of card. Yeah, just a bit of card. Frank, yeah. Do you put a bit of ink on it? Does that do the job?
That's a free book to Boston Tea Party.
Oh, Boston. The new Boston's on Boston Road. You know, that's the hippest place in town. So that's
wonderful. Or, what else we got here?
Now, I need to be careful what I do here. Oh dear, this could... what am I going to do? I'm totally flummoxed here. This one. How about this is a new ring here, so we made it. Yeah. Not yet.
Guess you got the point. Small things can carry great promise. And if we know that's true in everyday life, why not so with God? You feeling a bit flat
look into 2014, look back into normal life, thinking about packing Christmas away and thinking about all the pressures and struggles that might be facing you in the new year. If so, make the connection Simeon did. The connection between God's massive plan of salvation and the little baby who came at that first Christmas. You see, the baby born in Bethlehem, he may seem so insignificant to your life today, but he wasn't any old baby, was he? He was the fulfillment of all God's promises. And if you believe in him, you can go into 2014 like Simeon did. You can go forward in peace, no matter what you face. You're caught up in God's great plans. Let's just pray that in, shall we? Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Father in heaven, we praise you that Jesus came as the means of your salvation, the salvation plan which began before the beginning of time, which you promised over centuries, you fulfilled in the baby. And we pray we would make the connection, you'd help us to make the connection Simeon made, and so move forward in peace. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.